Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Listen to this music. Does it confuse you a little bit? Kind of klezmer, but a bongra beat in the background, and it's from the new movie New York, I Love You, billed as a collective feature film because so many different writers and directors from all over the world took part in different chapters. Brooklyn writer Suketu Mehta wrote the chapter that the music we heard introduced. You might know him from his book, Maximum City, Bombay Lost and Found, or from all the articles he's written about his native city, Bombay or Mumbai, and his adoptive city, New York. And he joins me now, Suketu Mehta. Always great to have you on the show. Welcome back.
Always great to be on, Brian.
And let's play a clip from your story in this feature film. It's set in the Diamond District, and the man in the scene is a Jain diamond merchant, played by Irfan Khan, who was the policeman in Slumdog Millionaire. And he's trying to do a deal with a young Hasidic diamond trader, played by Natalie Portman. And they realize that they have something in common in this scene.
No meat, no fish.
And what can't you eat?
No pig, no shrimp. What else can't you eat?
No onion, no garlic.
No milk and meat together.
No potato, no roots.
Nothing that hasn't been blessed.
Nothing too spicy. It is exciting, the passions, you know.
The Christians, they eat everything. They're like the Chinese. They never have to spend too much time picking a restaurant.
That's why there are no Christians in the diamond market. How can you trust a person who will eat anything?
Ha 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 ha. So that was clever, juxtaposing people from different cultures who have their different dietary restrictions. What were you trying to get at?
Well, it comes from personal experience. My family's in the diamond business, and this was to be my fate. So I spent many months on 47th Street in my father's wholesale diamond office, watching the Indians trade with the Jews. And most of the Indians were Jains, and most of the Jews were Orthodox. And the only thing they had in common was their orthodoxy. But that was enough to do business.
That was enough to do business. And New York, I Love You is a New York film in the sense that New York is a world city, right? Many of the writers and actors and directors are from all over the world. Mira Nair directed your chapter of the movie. So what were the parameters they gave you in writing this?
Well, when Mira came to me, she said, you know, there's this project I've been offered, and I want to do a kind of cross-cultural love story. And I thought about all these different worlds of New York. I'm writing a book about immigrants in New York, and I thought of what I could give her from the book. And then I drew back on my own background, and I said, I'll give you the world's first and only Jain Hasidic love story. I wrote these two roles because I'd always been fascinated by these two cultures. And when I was sitting there in my father's diamond office, always wondered what would happen if one of these Jains and one of these Hasidic people actually got it on. It never actually happened as far as I know, but you know, that's why we have the movies.
Do those surprising juxtapositions of cultures happen a lot in New York, in your experience?
Absolutely. They happen all around us, on the street around us. It's a city of that kind of romantic license where people who are restrained by the cultures or their orthodoxies in other parts of the country or the world can come here, and there's a kind of giant overthrowing of taboos, of cultural boundaries, and a giant miscegenation, which is one of the things that makes this city so great.
So you have this fantasy of a Jain and a Hasid getting together, and it never really happened. It reminds me of the old New Yorker cover just after the Crown Heights riots that Art Spiegelman did.
That's right.
With a Hasidic man, and now I can't even remember which was the man and which was the woman. I think it was a Hasidic man.
And an African-American woman.
Kissing.
Yes.
And, oh, the outrage that it prompted to some degree in both communities. People couldn't stand the image.
Well, you know, yes, there is this acceptance of cross-cultural love, but there's also outrage, which is also a feature of the city. In fact, when the movie was being shot, there was a Hasidic window salesman who had a bit part in the movie as Natalie Portman's acidic husband. And there were shots of him walking across a park with Natalie. And he had to back out of the movie under pressure from his rabbis. And as it was explained to the producers, we can't even watch movies, let alone be in them. So, you know, we have to remember that it's not just all free love, and there's also very, very strong feelings about boundaries, especially when it comes to love and marriage.
And each of the stories in this film, New York, I Love You, is a love story of sorts. You chose, as you've just been explaining, to write about two people who can't really be together. Here's another scene of the two of them talking. The man has just explained that his wife is now a Jain nun who moved back to India, shaved her hair, and begs for food.
Don't worry. She's not the only one without hair. I had to shave off all mine this morning because I'm getting married tomorrow. This is a wig.
Why? What is so wrong with women's hair anyway? Why you all want to cut it off?
They wanted me to cut it off on my wedding night. I said, no way.
Yeah.
It took 25 years to grow. 10 minutes to cut off. And now, for the rest of my life, I have to wear some other woman's hair.
For all I know, you could be wearing my wife's hair right now.
And that's yet another curious connection between the two cultures, both extreme within their own traditions, because the Jains, as he goes on to explain, often cut off their hair and then sell them to Western women who want to buy wigs. Hasidic women in some Hasidic cultures are required to cut off their hair before they got married. And it's an intimate moment that we just heard, but they will go on with their parallel lives. So not every cross-cultural love story is Romeo and Juliet.
But it can be in fantasy, and I think that's the point of this little short that Meera directed. As we walk around the streets, we're constantly surrounded by people, and often we wonder, you know, what if? So I think this film goes into that territory of what if. The hair bit was something that I've always been fascinated by, because India is the world's largest exporter of human hair. Also, it turns out, frogs and skeletons. So
just in time for Thanksgiving. Exactly. I mean, for Halloween, the skeletons.
So, Indian skeletons are used by medical students worldwide. And, of course, there are a lot of Indians, so stands to reason there'd be a lot of skeletons.
Yes. I take it you would describe New York as a salad and not a soup.
Well, it's been described many ways. I've been struck by how little New Yorkers really melt into each other as I go around the worlds of the city. People live in a kind of transnationalism, that is, they go back and forth to their native countries. What is exile when a round trip home is $500? And two out of three New Yorkers today are immigrants or their children. So there's this, you know, tremendous flavoring of everybody else, but nobody seems to be melting into some kind of gelatinous whole.
Suket Umeta, my guest on WNYC for just another few minutes. You may know his book, Maximum City. He's writing another book about New York right now. He's on a reporting assignment for The New Yorker to write about Coney Island. That'll be out, we hope, in a few weeks. And he has written this one piece that we just heard some clips from for the new movie New York, I Love You, which has different chapters made by different people. This one written by Suketa and directed by Meera Nai. Do you have a favorite archetypal New York movie?
You know, one of my all-time favorite New York movies is The Sweet Smell of Success with Burt Lancaster. And it's this wonderful, scathing, bitchy portrait of New York celebrity life. It's our own La Dolce Vita, but I think better than the Fellini film.
The city, I think it's fair to say, is less rough and dangerous than when some of the great old-time New York movies were being made. Is this new film kind of a Bloombergian New York movie?
Yeah, this film is, about a much sweeter, more accessible New York. I mean, I came to New York in the 70s when there were films like Escape from New York, where there was a giant chain link fence put up around Manhattan. People were trying to get the hell out. Now people are trying to get the hell in. And I think this movie is for people around the world who wish they were living in New York. And through the movie, they can enter the city.
Is there a neighborhood in New York, since you travel around so much, where you feel like you've actually left the country?
Well, I came to Jackson Heights in 1977, and it was always a little apart from America then, and it's still a little apart of apart from America. It's one of the most ethnically diverse areas in the United States. It might have more languages spoken in that neighborhood than anywhere else. And whenever I go there, I always feel that all you need to take a trip around the world is a Metro card.
It's so true. I just ate at an Indian diner in Jackson Heights a few weeks ago, and it was really good and really inexpensive and seemed to be the place where everybody in the neighborhood of all ethnicities were congregating. Any food tips for there or anywhere else?
Well, a lot of the Indians, interestingly enough, are moving out of Jackson Heights, and there's now populations of Bhutanese, Nepalese, Tibetans who are coming in, so other parts of South Asia. And there's some wonderful holes in the wall. There's a place on the corner of, I believe it's 73rd Street and 37th Avenue. It's called the Raja Sweet House, where elderly Punjabi ladies fry up hot parathas. It used to be a music store selling CDs and pirated DVDs, and I guess the owner's elderly aunts came over and started cooking in a corner of the store, and now the restaurant operation has taken over the music operation.
Nobody's buying CDs anymore, but people are still eating.
You gotta eat.
Any more screenplays in your future before you go?
I've been approached to write a couple, and my book, Maximum City, I've sold the rights to Danny Boyle, who made Slumdog Millionaire, so I've been
great.
Working a little bit with
Fabulous.
Simon Beaufoy, the screenwriter.
Congratulations.
On developing that.
That's great. Can't wait. Sukay Tumeta, author of Maximum City, and now the director of about 10 minutes or so of the new film, New York, I Love You, now playing in theaters around town. Always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Governor David Paterson up next. Stay with us.